We have been blessed with our worship today, haven't we been? Wasn't it a wonderful time? Thank you so much, Jeff and choir, for all that you did to prepare us for our Easter celebration and for standing before the Word and remembering the greatest announcement that the world has ever known. But it did not seem that way at the very beginning. At the very beginning, it seemed as though the world had fallen apart. Those women who came to the tomb were overwhelmed as they made their way to the garden that Easter morning. The calendar said it was the beginning of the week, but to them, it seemed like the end of everything. They came to the tomb experiencing grief like they had never known. Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, the others who had been witnesses to the crucifixion now came to prepare his body for burial. As they made their way to the tomb, I cannot help but think that each one of them was remembering the first time they encountered Jesus of Nazareth. They were probably thinking about what it was like to hear him speak for the first time, to feel his touch upon their lives, to know what it means to be transformed by the love and the power of God. And now, he was dead. They had spent their Friday in the shadow of the cross, watching. Together they had followed Joseph of Arimathea as he removed his body from the cross and carried it to a new tomb. They had prepared the spices and the oils that would anoint his body. And once everything was finished, they waited. They waited, knowing that his body needed to be anointed. Early Sunday morning, they returned to the garden to show their last expression of love and respect. Something we need to remember this morning, and it is simply this. They weren't expecting what they found when they arrived. They weren't expecting to find a stone that had been rolled away. They never anticipated that they would encounter two angelic visitors who greeted them at the tomb, nor were they prepared for the questions that the angels would ask them. But those questions were the thing that would change a place of despair into a beacon of hope. And those same questions change lives today. In fact, the way you answer those questions will determine everything about what it means to know and follow Jesus Christ. It will determine whether what you will do today is about family gatherings and Easter bunnies or about the greatest hope the world has ever known. So let's look together at these questions with one another. The first question is simply this: why do you seek the living among the dead? When they heard that question, they couldn't understand. They had not come to the tomb to find any living person at all. The ladies had come to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. They had seen him crucified. They had witnessed the spectacle of him being forced to drag a cross through the streets of Jerusalem. They had seen the soldiers slamming the nails into his hands and into his feet. They had watched him suffer and bleed throughout that dark night. They had heard him cry out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And they had watched him die. They would never forget gathering around Mary, trying in vain to comfort a mother's agony. And now they were standing outside the tomb where they had watched the Savior die. Not one of them had any expectation they would encounter a living Christ. After all, you don't look for living people in the middle of a cemetery. And around them were the tombs of others who had gone the way of death, and not one of them had ever returned. They thought death had won the victory, as it always had before. And there are people all around you this Easter who are just as burdened as those ladies were. They are living their lives in the shadow of death because they feel like death is the end for everybody. That sooner or later, no matter what you do with your life, no matter how well you live, no matter what a difference you make, the time will come when you will breathe your last breath and you will die, and that's the end of everything you are. And there are people who live exactly that way. They search through religious systems and secular ideologies and personal opinions, hoping to find something that will give some sort of meaning to their lives. From time to time, they find solutions and they think, this time it works. This time I found something worth living for. But they can only help for a while because whatever system they find, there's no eternal life in them. And here's the truth. Apart from Jesus, every belief, every religion, every direction you choose will end up at the same destination. Death. Spiritual and personal death. That's why it's so important for us to hear the message that the angels were sent to deliver, because that's where the angels spoke up and they changed everything with a single sentence. He is not here. He is not here. He is risen. They didn't tell the women they'd come to the wrong destination. They didn't deny the reality of Jesus' death. His side had been pierced with a spear. His blood had been spilled on the ground. He had cried out and breathed his last. And for days it seemed as though death had won the victory. His body was in the tomb, absolutely, completely dead. The angels never denied what had happened to Jesus. They came to announce what had happened next. He is risen. He was death, but He has claimed life again. And the hope of the world this morning is knowing in the depths of your soul that that song was right. We serve a risen Savior. We serve one who died, but He rose again. We saved one who lost his life, but then he claimed it again. We serve one who death had touched, but life had reclaimed, because he was the Savior, the Son of the living God. He's risen and he offers salvation to everyone who turns their heart to the only one who ever defeated death, and offers eternal life to everyone who believes. But there was a second critical question that the angels had to ask that day. Don't you remember? Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Don't you remember? Don't you remember? When did Jesus tell those things? They were still in Galilee. It was a long way from Jerusalem. They hadn't found themselves in the midst of the mob yet. But none of it was a surprise. All of it was just the way he promised. Jesus didn't find himself a victim of the crowd in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't find himself as a victim of those who would drag the cross out. Jesus didn't find himself a victim of the grave. It was all part of the plan. It always had been from the foundation of the world. He came to give his life and to claim it again. Jesus had spoken about his upcoming death with assurance because giving his life was why he had come to this broken and sin-sick world. It was the one and only reason he had come. He didn't come to be a baby in a manger. He didn't come to be a great teacher. He didn't come to be a healer. He didn't come to do the things that he accomplished. He came to give his life away and to claim it again. He came to carry the power of your sin and my sin to the grave. And and then open the door to everlasting life. The women at the tomb needed to be reminded it was all part of the plan. God would not give up on sinful people. But the price had to be paid. And that was why Jesus was born to die. It's the greatest expression of love the world has ever known. God should have given up and walked away. It's what we deserved. We had rebelled against Him. We had rejected Him. We had gone our own way. We had chosen our own path. We had followed the paths of sin. By all reason, God should have given up on us. But He didn't. He gave His only begotten Son. And He died for us. Jesus was born to die. But that was not all that God promised. The Bible says, and on the third day, rise again. He came to give His life, and on the third day, rise again. This Easter morning, it's my privilege to challenge you. Remember what God has done. Remember, He is risen from the dead. Remember, when He rose, He opened the door to eternal life to anyone who will believe. Remember what He said. Remember what He promised. And trust Him to change your life today. It is a wonderful thing that today we gather and we celebrate the fact that Jesus at one point gave His life away. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead and opened the door for everlasting life. It is a wonderful thing to remember that happened. It was real. It happened long ago. But what about today? What about today? Today, the power of the risen Christ is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. Today, it's just as personal as it was to those women who gathered at the tomb. It is a risen Christ who says to you and to me and to all of us, if you'll trust Me, I will give you everlasting life. If you'll trust Me, I will forgive you of your sins. If you'll trust Me, I will destroy the power of death in your life. If you'll trust Me, you no longer have to fear what will happen on the day you leave this world. If you trust Me, you will know with absolute assurance that Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead, became the eternal Savior of everyone who will believe. If you will trust Me, I will save you. And that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the salvation that Christ has offered to all who will believe. So my question to you this morning is a very personal question. It's the kind of question that we need to think about as though it were only you and I in this room together. And that question is, what have you done with Jesus? Because the day is going to come when you will breathe your last, and the day is going to come when you're going to stand before the Lord and account for your life. And I love the way Rick Warren has expressed it. He says, and on that day, the question God is going to ask you is, what did you do with My Son Jesus Christ while you were living on the earth? And eternity will hang in the balance. What did you do with My Son Jesus Christ while you were on the earth? Did you trust Him? Do you belong to Him? Have you asked Him to save you? If that day hasn't happened in your life, that's what you need to do on this Easter Sunday. It's a wonderful thing on Easter Sunday to say, you know, on Easter, I got up and I went to church and we had a wonderful time. The choir was wonderful. The songs were beautiful. I enjoyed being with God's people on Easter Sunday. That's a wonderful thing. If you can say, I came because I've trusted Him and He has saved me. And I follow Jesus. Has that day happened in your life? Has that time came when you invited Christ to be your Savior? If not, then today, before you leave this place, that's a decision you need to make. That's an issue you need to settle. You need to decide, today I invite Christ to be my Savior and my Lord. And if you haven't done that, in a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and I'm going to be here at the front. And you can come, and I'll introduce you to the Savior. Do you need to make that decision today? If you do, as we sing, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.